From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Vice President Kala dismissed Papuan referendum proposal by Pacific Nations at UN General Assembly. Nordic countries important partners for Indonesia. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala refuted the claim that Pacific country had put forth a proposal on a Papuan referendum on self-determination during the 74th session of the UN General Assembly in New York. Kala noted in a written statement released on Friday that four of Pacific countries had spoken earlier at the forum, and none of them came up with the proposal for a referendum. The four Pacific nations, Fiji, Tuvalu, Kiribati, and Tonga, spoke at the international forum, though none breached the topic of Papuan referendum. Kala affirmed that the 74th UN General Assembly laid greater emphasis on lowering the poverty rate, conserving the environment, and maintaining health, so no country raised the issue of a Papuan referendum. The Vice President explained that it is highly improbable for the UN to accept a proposal for a Papuan referendum on self-determination as it had been conducted in 1969 through the resolution of the UN General Assembly known as the People's Self-Determination. Cuban Ambassador to Indonesia, Nircia Castro Guevara, said she wanted to continue to develop cultural exchanges with Indonesia in an effort to strengthen relations between the peoples of the two countries. Ambassador Nircia conveyed her wish after the piano recital, which was held in commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the visit of the Cuban revolutionary figure Ernesto Che Guevara to Indonesia at the Jakarta National Library on Thursday. The piano recital presented the solo performance of Cuban musician Liane Vega Serrano, who had a lot of experience participating in the Cuban and Mexican orchestras. Nircia Guevara said that this commemoration event was so important and symbolic because it commemorated Che Guevara's visit and cultural cooperation in the field of culture. The Nordic countries, namely Denmark, Finland, Norway, and Sweden, are important partners for Indonesia. Bilateral cooperation between the Nordic countries and Indonesia, especially in the economic and development fields, has increased significantly. This was said by the Minister of National Development Planning, head of the Indonesian National Development Planning Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, in his remarks at the Nordic Night to commemorate the National Days of Denmark, Finland, Norway, and Sweden in Jakarta on Thursday night. Bambang added the trade volume of Indonesia and Nordic countries continued to increase in the last 2 years. He also hopes that there will be more foreign direct investment from the four Nordic countries to Indonesia.
Our combined trade volume continued to increase over the past few years. In 2018, we recorded a trade volume of $2.2 billion. in the area of foreign direct investment, or FDI, I do hope to see more capital inflows from all the four countries. In 2018, the registered combined value of FDI from Nordic countries was $39.7 billion. I wonder if this figure could soon be doubled and place Nordic combined investment into the top 10 source of FDI in Indonesia.
Bambang Brojonegoro also welcomed the increasing number of tourists from the Nordic countries visiting Indonesia. He encouraged tourists from Denmark, Finland, Norway and Sweden not only to visit Bali, but also 10 other new tourist destinations. The Indonesia Palm Oil Plantation Fund Management Agency, BPDP Kias, will not collect palm oil export levies until late 2020 to maintain the crude palm oil prices in global markets. The agency director, Hedrajat Natawijaya, noted on Thursday at a sustainable palm oil discussion on farmers' new sustainable CPO price hike organized by Info Sawit Media that the measure was taken to ease the financial burden of palm oil farmers in the midst of continually fluctuating CPO price globally. The CPO consumption volume is projected to rise by 3 million tons for B30 production as compared to the usage for B20. Meanwhile, Guntur Cahyo Prabowo of the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil affirmed that his organization will aid in synergizing sustainable palm oil development at the farmer and corporation levels. He affirmed farmers are entitled to information access and to sell palm oil directly to palm oil companies, circumventing any third party. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The rupiah suffered another correction against the U.S. dollar in the Jakarta interbank market on Friday morning, triggered by the release of U.S. economic growth data. Samuel Asset Management economist Lana Sulitianingsih remarked in Jakarta on Friday that U.S. economic development remains solid and shows no signs of strong potential recession. The third announcement indicates that U.S. economic growth had clocked 2% year-on-year in the second quarter of 2019, unchanged from the second announcement, though slowing down from 3.1% year-on-year in the first quarter of 2019, owing to ebbing personal consumption expenditure and exports. The rupiah slipped 25 points or 0.18% to 14,190 per U.S. dollar at 10:08 a.m. local time on Friday in comparison with 14,165 per U.S. dollar earlier. The House of Representatives plenary meeting on Thursday approved the ratification of the draft law on Management of National Resources, PSDN, for national defense into law. Chairman of the House of Representatives Commission 1, Abdul Haris Al-Mashari, in the meeting said the purpose of the bill on PSDN for national defense was based on several very strategic matters. The regulation of national resources for national defense is an important and strategic effort of the state in arranging order for the effectiveness of a defense system. According to him, the involvement of national resources for national defense aims to enlarge and strengthen the main components. Al-Masari said the threat to the existence of the nation and state in this century is no longer possible to be placed only on the function of the Indonesian National Army. Language has a strategic role in the life of the nation and state. Therefore, language development and funding needs to be continued not only by the government's body that deals with language. It was stated by the head of Language and Book Development Agency, Ministry of Education and Culture, Dadang Sunendar, after becoming a speaker in the RRI Voice of Indonesia 2019 Literature Award in Jakarta on Thursday. Dadang Sunendar assessed that the award program by Voice of Indonesia helping the development of the country's language, even involving Indonesian citizens and foreign nationals around the world. He hopes that the notice by the whole community is not limited to the language of the country, namely Indonesian, but also regional languages.
Tentu saja kami sangat senang karena kan yang digunakan.
Of course, we are very happy because the language of the country is used. Even though we also need to encourage regional literature, don't forget it. There is also, for example, we know through the Rancage Foundation, for example, which routinely gives awards to local language writers. Not only Sundanese, there are Javanese, there are Balinese. If I'm not mistaken, there are languages from Northern Sumatra as well. This is not much because it touches on regional literature in this regard.
Sastra daerah dalam hal ini.
Dadang Sunendar also hopes that appreciation for writers should continue to be carried out to stimulate literacy, that is, reading and writing, especially for millennial generations, so that the works produced can be a medium for delivering information as well as entertainment for readers or listeners. Well, listener, that's the news.
Well, listener, nice to meet you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is, Can President Donald Trump Escape from Impeachment? United States President Donald Trump faces an impeachment process initiated by the Democratic Party in the United States House of Representatives. 2 days ago, Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives Nancy Pelosi repealed as many as 170 of 235 members of the U.S. House of Representatives supported the impeachment of Trump, who allegedly abused his authority as head of state to deter Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden by asking Ukraine to investigate the alleged corruption of his son, Hunter Biden. This case starts with a report from a complainant whose identity is hidden and who works at the U.S. intelligence agent. She reported the result of a telephone tapping between Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on July 25th. Trump reportedly urged Zelensky to investigate the alleged corruption directed to Hunter Biden. Biden's son is indeed a member of the commissioner of the Ukraine Energy Company. Then President Trump admitted having a conversation with the president of Ukraine some time ago and discussed the matter of Biden by telephone. However, Trump has denied pressuring Zelensky to grant his request with the threat of holding back aid for the Ukraine government, arguing it is done so that European countries are more active in helping. It is part of the political dynamics of the United States ahead of the election that will take place in November 2020. Will Trump succeed in avoiding the possible impeachment this time? Ahead of the United States presidential election, the nuance of competition between presidential candidates from Democratic Party and Republican Party is increasingly heating up. Trump, who decided to move forward again as incumbent in the U.S. election next year, has already started paying attention to his toughest opponent from Democratic Party, Joe Biden. Former vice president of 2 terms in the administration of Barack Obama, looking for Joe Biden's weakness through the hands of Ukraine, actually leads to impending process of impeachment on Trump. The impeachment effort towards Trump is not the first time. In 2017, shortly after being sworn in as president, Trump faced impeachment effort after post investigation of former special advisor Robert Mueller about Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election with the argument that Trump had obstructed justice efforts. However, Trump managed to escape at the time. Apart from that, the American public assessment of the performance of President Trump has not been very good so far. A poll released by the Post and ABC on Friday showed that 60% of the voters did not like President Trump's performance. At last, in 2019 and 2020, President Donald Trump will be busy dealing with the process of impeachment and declining public support for him. which will affect his electability in 2020. Can President Donald Trump escape from impeachment this time? Let's wait and see next. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome back to the regular Today in History of Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on September 27, 1945, Post and Telecommunication Day. Post and Telecommunication Day began from being taken over post telegraph and telephone office from the authority of Japanese government by Indonesian youth who joined in youth force of post telegraph and telephone in Bandung, West Java on September 27, 1945. Taking over of the power of the office from Japanese colonial was conducted by the youth force after 3-day failure of negotiation. The youth, which was moved by Sutoko, decided to seize the office by force. Since September 27, 1945, the event has been commemorated as Post and Telecommunication Day until now. The next event is that on September 27, 1980, World Tourism Day was established. Since September 27, 1980, World Tourism Organization has commemorated the World Tourism Day. The date was chosen because on September 27, 1970, the budget of the World Tourism Organization was designed. The plan of the budget was considered as a benchmark of world tourism. In addition, the determination of the date of the World Tourism Day is also based on unique fact. September 27 is the end of holiday time at the northern of the earth, which is ready to enter winter. But at the southern of the earth, the date is the start of holiday to welcome summer. This is the date when travelers throughout the world are confirmed to enjoy holiday together. The goal of the commemoration is to improve awareness on the role of tourism in international community and to show tourism impact on social, cultural, political, and economic matters of the world. And the last event is that in 1988, National League Party for Democracy was established in Myanmar. National League Party for Democracy, or NLD, as a political party from Myanmar, was established on September 27, 1988, and led by Aung San Suu Kyi, that acted as Secretary General. In the 1990 general election, the party won 392 votes from 492 votes, but the military junta, which has authority on law restoration and state order council, that now named Peace and State Development Council, did not permit the party to establish government. In 2010, an NLD party was declared illegal and has to be dismissed. But a year later, an NLD was permitted to actively participate in the 2012 and 2015 general elections. NLD got majority vote, which opened way to the first civilian government of the country. That was Today in History.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
dansa dan gembira. Di tengah pesta kulihat si dia, lincah gayanya dandanan masa kini. Ingin hatiku mencium pipinya, tapi malu rasa.
Well, for listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Welcome to My Indonesia. Today's topic, titled Export of National Batik Penetrates $18 million. In commemorating the National Batik Day on October 2nd and the 10th Batik Acknowledgement by UNESCO, Ministry of Industry held a Batik exhibition in Jakarta beginning on September 24 to 27, 2019. The exhibition is participated in by 44 craftsmen of small and middle batik industry fostered by Batik Indonesia Foundation. The activity will continue with big event which will be held in Solo on October 2, 2019. Director General of Small, Middle and Diverse IKMA, Ministry of Industry Gati Wibawaningsih, at the opening of Batik exhibition themed Making Batik for the Country or Membatik untuk Negeri in Jakarta on Tuesday, September 24, said that Batik industry is one of sectors that open many employments. the sector dominated by small and middle industry spread in 101 regions in Indonesia with 47,000 business units and has absorbed approximately 200,000 workers. Batik industry, which is also part of textile and fashion industry, also becomes a leading sector in the implementation of Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap. Gati also stated that batik industry gets development priority due to its big donation in increasing trade, investment, impact toward other industries, as well as the acceleration of market penetration. Indonesian batik industry is also able to give significant contribution for the national economy, and the products have attracted global markets. Data from Industry Ministry said that export value from the national batik industry on the first semester of 2019 reaches about $18 million. The main destination countries of its product shipment, namely Japan, the United States, and Europe. Gati moreover said that Batik Indonesia has comparative and competitive advantages of the international markets. UNESCO has recognized Batik Indonesia as a representative list of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity on October 2, 2009. The recognition brings consequence to the government or people to preserve and develop batik products continuously. Gati Wibawaningsih further added that in May 2019, it was happened batik diplomacy at the UN headquarters. On that moment, batik was chosen as dress code of members at the UN Security Council conference. The moment became proud of Indonesia, since most of UN members wearing batik with various types, colors, and original batik material of Indonesia. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Bahagia darat terperi danian derap jiwaku tak kenal duka derita tak kenal nestapa ceria berpesona tiba-tiba ku tertegun lubuk hatiku tersentuh perahu kecil tiba-tiba ku sadar hilangmu burung camar tadi cuma kisah
thank you.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. Today I present to you Ogi Waterfall in East Nusa Tenggara. When traveling to East Nusa Tenggara, I suggest you to visit Ngada Regency in Flores Island. The Regency is famous with the natural beauty and cultural tourism, such as Inari Mountain, Kampung Bena, or the oldest tribe village in Flores Island, 17 Pulau Riung Sea Park, and Mangaruda Hot Spring. Moreover, Ngada Regency has also natural tourism such as waterfall in Bajawa sub-district, namely Soasese Waterfall, or known as Ogi Waterfall. It is not difficult to reach the location of Ogi Waterfall. The distance from Bajawa City to Ogi Waterfall is less than 8 kilometers. It takes only 15 minutes to reach the location. Getting closer to the location, you have to pass the road without asphalt more than 1 kilometer because the tourism object is far enough from the highway. The tourism will lose since you will enjoy the views of stretch of rice field and hills during the traveling. When arriving Ogi Waterfall object, you must pay 5,000 rupiah per person for entrance ticket. When you enter the area of Ogi Waterfall, you will admire the beauty of the waterfall with 80 meter high. The waterfall is like going out from green trees and falling to white pond. You can swim in the pond to feel its freshness. During your visit Ogi Waterfall, do not forget to take photos with a swift waterfall background. If you are tired and want to take a rest, rest area and food court have been provided in this tourism object. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition with the topic Ogi Waterfall in East Nusa Tenggara. We will see you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
Berjalan di muka rumahku, penuh kaya tersita pandanganku, hingga ku terpesona. Siapakah dirimu? Hatiku ingin tahu segera. Dimanakah rumahmu? Siapakah namamu? Sebutkanlah, ku ingin berkenalan. Terimalah salamku, gayamu dan wajahmu terbawa dalam mimpi diriku di mabuk asmara. Hati yang bertenang pada pandangan pertama. Saat kau berjalan.
hati yang berbunga pada pandangan pertama. Oh Tuhan, tolonglah aku cinta.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you by Innovation Indonesian Delegation wins award in Istanbul. The Indonesian Delegation through Pertamina Innovation Team won a number of awards at the 2019 Istanbul International Invention Fair held in Istanbul, Turkey, 17 to 22 September 2019. The awards are two gold medals, one silver medal, the third best for the discovery category best, and special awards from various world innovation associations. The international event was attended by around 300 innovation works and 25 countries, including Russia, Portugal, Malaysia, Romania, Lebanon, Iran, Indonesia, Poland, China, Morocco, England, and other European countries. The 2019 Istanbul International Invention Fair is the largest airplane exhibition event this year. Chairperson of the Indonesian Invention and Innovation Promotion Association delegation, Winda, said in a written statement received in Jakarta on Monday that the event is very appropriate for Indonesian innovators because the event is also attended by around 6,000 until 10,000 visitors every day. This provides a significant opportunity for Indonesian innovators to transfer knowledge or even get investors. Many visitors were interested in innovation products on display by the Pertamina Innovation Team and other Indonesian teams. There are four innovations brought by Pertamina Innovation. One of them is geochemical adsorbent survey tools technology. Proof PertaGasTech, which is an innovative geochemical survey tool to map the geothermal prospects including hidden geothermal energy using adsorbents and activated carbon membranes in geothermal exploration areas. The Pertamina Innovation Team also successfully defended the Best International Invention Award for 2 years in a row. That was Miss Eleni for today. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Ternyata sesungguhnya
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song, Ayam Den Lapeh. The song Ayam Den Lapeh was composed by Abdul Hamid. Its lyric is rimed in old poetry. The lyric consists of four lines. Ayam Den Lapeh tells about someone who loses something that is symbolized like a chicken. Quoted from Indonesian culture website, Directorate General of Indonesian Culture. Chicken in old Minang tradition is luxurious property. Only certain people could raise chicken. Indonesian music industry is more developed, so is the regional song, which is often rearranged by regional musicians such as Shira Vanessa, who rearranged Ayam Den Lapeh into jazz. Well, let's listen to Ayam Den Lapeh, sung by Shira Vanessa.
Babelo jalan kayu jati di maati indah karusun ayam den lapeh ayam ayam den lapeh mandaki jalan pandai sike basimpang jalan kabiaro di maati indah kemaupe awata kicha I am depe sikua chape sai kwa taba sai kwa lape tabala juo nan karimbo mama sangka tampe bajalan urang baso dudua taman wanti osaban taoy tangan ajuo I am jenape dan saban ta oi ta kana juo ai ai am je la pe ai 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 am je la pe ai 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 am je
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voinews.id. From Indonesia.